Good evening. You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM HD1 Evanston, Chicago. I'm Rachel Spears, and this is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, Books and Breakfast is taking its learning and fun to another Evanston Elementary School, middle graduates in the field of sports journalism, and how are students navigating Evanston's winter weather? Those stories and more coming up from Northwestern University. This is WNUR News at 6. We also want to talk about our annual fundraiser, Phone-a-thon, which is happening right now. This is the only time of year that we ask our listeners for support to keep our station on air and commercial free. Please make a contribution now by going to WNUR.org and clicking donate. All contributions make a difference. Thanks so much. Stay tuned and head to WNUR.org to keep us on the air. Do you want your child to start off their morning just right? This program provides just that. McCall Vickers takes us to the newest Books and Breakfast location.
It's a common truism that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. That's why Books and Breakfast is on its mission to start every Evanston child's day off with a meal. And that goal is coming closer to reality with the group's newest program at Oakton Elementary. Books and Breakfast is a nonprofit that brings nutritional breakfast and education assistance to Evanston Elementary students. On January 26th, it opened its 8th location at Oakton Elementary School.
I think there's just always been a need for Books and Breakfast at Oakton.
That is Junwon Mora, Oakton's site director. She's in charge of helping students with their homework, prepping them for the day, and ensuring the program goes as planned. She graduated from Northwestern in 2025 and joined the Books and Breakfast staff in January.
I'm very familiar with the Evanston community, and I was wanting to stay in community with them even post-grad. And I thought that this program really aligned with what I want to do career-wise.
Books and Breakfast was originally started in the 1980s by parents and teachers who saw the need for breakfast in schools. Over the years, it shifted its focus to closing educational gaps between Black and Latino students. In 2013, became an independent nonprofit.
I think part of our mission is helping these students who are have less resources or are marginalized for whatever reason, and giving them the same care and access to education that their peers are getting in Evanston.
The program runs Monday through Friday from 8 to 8:50 a.m. Students are given a healthy breakfast, personal academic help, and dedicated reading time. The organization also directs a summer reading program. According to its 2024 to 2025 annual report, the organization served over 200 students. Of those students, 90% qualify for reduced lunch. There are 15 students total in the Oakton program, but they are trying to get at least 20.
A lot of teachers have been have been wanting for Oakton to get Books and Breakfast here, and they've been so positive, and they've been so welcoming. And are wanting to get more students in the program.
As Books and Breakfast continues to expand its locations, they strive to provide equitable opportunities to all their students.
And so I think it's very important to have programs like these that are focusing on these communities and that are made for them, and not something that they have to fit their ways into.
For WNUR News, I'm McCall Vickers.
Sports journalism is one of the least known professions that Northwestern graduates feed into. Nearly 10 graduates each year from the Medill School of Journalism go into the field for their careers. Brendan Priceman has some of their stories.
Northwestern's Medill School of Journalism tends to produce graduates that go into illustrious jobs. The class of 2022 alone has seen members go on to work at The Atlantic, CBS, The Associated Press, and The Washington Post. The majority of Medill alumni will go into either news reporting or some form of public relations and communications. However, according to the most recent data from Medill, 3% of the class of 2022 is working in sports journalism. While that's not exactly a massive number, it's not zero either. The Medill School typically churns out about 5 to 10 graduates a year who stick to the sports beat post-graduation, as evidenced by many recent graduating classes. These are some of their stories. Daniel Olinger is one example of an alum from the class of 2023 who works in sports journalism. Olinger covers the Philadelphia 76ers for the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast. Olinger blogs and podcasts for the site, which is very much a familiar feeling for him. While at Northwestern, he became the editor-in-chief of the sports blog Inside NU, which exclusively covers any and all Northwestern sports. Olinger says working for the site helped him figure out how to best use his sports writing talents.
You get out to what you put into it. So, like, just being willing, they had a great women's basketball team my freshman year. I wrote about them a ton. I broke down their zone. I did all film, a ton of film rooms on them. I was willing to write it. Through that, I got promoted to, like, managing editor by the people running it at the time, just because they saw that I was writing good stuff and clearly invested in it. And then the next year through, I got promoted to editor-in-chief after my sophomore year because, again, I was writing stuff all the time, doing film rooms, contacting people to set up good stories. But that was a good thing. It did feel just like whoever does some of the most work or the best work kind of gets rewarded for it. I kind of like just that pretty basic cause and effect thing. So I just kind of kept working at it. And yeah, it's basically, it was just, it wasn't anything special. It was just I kind of correctly identified where my talents best fit at Northwestern and kind of just let it go from there.
Patrick Andrus was also a member of the class of 2023, but ended up graduating with the class of 2022. Much like Olinger, Andrus credits his time at Campus Publications with helping make him who he is today. For Andrus specifically, he basically went from illustrious publication straight to illustrious publication. During his undergraduate career, he wrote for the Daily Northwestern, and after a brief stint at the Toledo Blade newspaper, now works for Sports Illustrated. While he did learn a lot about the industry and writing at the Daily, the lessons he treasures most are ones that came outside the field of journalism proper.
I almost think I learned more of how to be a human being than I did a journalist with the Daily. And I learned a lot about being a journalist at the Daily, covering football and covering men's basketball and various other sports. And I think that that's the case. For a lot of different publications, and I think we're blessed in that regard to have all these different publications, from the Daily, Inside NU, NBN, WNUR, more specialized publications that are escaping me at the moment. But I think yeah, that's definitely one of the draws in Northwestern for me. And in my time with the Daily, it was special. I'll always treasure it.
Both Andrus and Olinger also talked about the networks they were able to form while at Northwestern. They both believe that Northwestern was the right choice for them because Medill was able to provide something they've needed in their professional careers.
Well, I knew I was interested in eventually getting the Sports Illustrated, and I knew people that if I needed someone to vouch for me within Sports Illustrated, there were people there I knew, people I knew from Northwestern. And I think that has remained the case, is that I feel like I have connections in a lot of different places inside and outside the journalism industry. I think it has provided a sense of security in that regard, just knowing that. I think, again, it goes back to kind of the shared experience of Medill, the shared experience of looking for jobs in journalism, which can be scarce, I think.
While the people were a key part of Olinger's college experience, Medill's biggest aid to him was its platform. As he explains, being able to write at a well-known school under a well-known program enabled him to more easily find professional opportunities.
Northwestern does, like, because it's a good school for good reputation, has these resources, you're being given a platform. No one really knows anyone's internal talent level, knowledge, what they're capable of. What's different, what the difference is, we can see that certain platforms are bigger than others. Northwestern did opt out to me, where it's a platform, like, for me to, like, maybe if I had gone to a small school, like, you know, there were small local colleges near me, I could have done other stuff. Maybe I would still got it, ended up going into sports writing, and maybe I still would have been just as good at it as I am now. But I doubt people would recognize it as much. So I was just talking about, like, a local B3 school they heard of, or, you know, just not doing as much. It's like, it's just the fact of the matter, so those things don't get as noticed as much.
Those networks and connections can even be created in the graduate school. J.P. Acosta attended Florida Atlantic University for undergrad, but came to Medill for graduate school thanks to the encouragement of his professors. Since completing the master's program, he's gone to work for sports blog SB Nation, for which he publishes lots of analytical football content. He already boasts of professional experience and lots of college publication work, but Medill helped bring his journalistic acumen to another level.
When I got to Northwestern, I got to Medill, I think the skill that I developed was confidence in what I do. I think because of what I do now, I do a lot of analytical film descriptions, content for football. I realized at Medill, one of the things that I was able to do was effectively communicate those things that are happening on the field to people, to students who, or some of my friends, honestly, who didn't really see the game the way I did. So I think going to Medill, one of the skills that I learned is just the confidence in knowing this might not be for everybody, but I know that I'm really good at this and I can continue to work in this lane.
Acosta also acknowledged the level of access to the journalism world Medill gave him was beyond anything else he had experienced in the undergraduate world.
I think the first thing that I would say is it gives you incredible access to the world of journalism. Not only the individual, like, here's the things that you're going to be honing and refining. Like I said, there's video, audio, print. You can do so many different things in the grad school, but I think it's more just the access to all the alumni networks, the people who are well connected in the industry. You're more than likely going to find someone who does the same thing that you do, and you can kind of connect with them and be able to talk with them. The professors have extremely high amounts of experience, and you're never going to feel alone walking through the world of journalism.
Indeed, that sense of community has remained with these sports journalists long after they marched back through the arch. All of them treasure their time at Northwestern and remember it very fondly. Whether it was covering sports or just being around fellow students, their time on campus holds some of the highlights of their lives thus far. For Andrus specifically, it's an experience he's done his best to keep alive.
And then I was able to move back to Evanston for 6 months last year. And now I'm based in Chicago, although I've been making this phone call from my family home, which is kind of funny. But I think that I always tell people, I feel like between graduating early and then post-grad, I've kind of orbited Northwestern since graduating.
An orbit like that only makes sense. When you've been part of a community this tight-knit and talented, you never want to leave it. For WNUR News, I'm Brendan Prosman.
After a few blissful days, we're back to freezing temperatures in Evanston. But it's not all doom and gloom. WNUR News' Sophia Casa sat down with the Daily Northwestern's Ingrid Smith to talk about how students navigate the winter weather. Here's their conversation.
Frigid temperatures, fierce winds, and lake-effect snowstorms make their return to Northwestern's campus this week. Some love it, some hate it, but everyone on Sheridan's got to adapt to it. But the question is how? The Daily Northwestern's Ingrid Smith joins me today to talk about this winter weather. Hi, Ingrid.
Hi, Sophia.
So, Ingrid, can you tell me a little bit about what are some students' biggest issues with this winter weather?
Northwestern pulls from a large population of students from around the world, including a lot of students who have never experienced cold weather before. For this particular population, getting used to the cold, having to purchase new winter coats and winter gear, getting used to seasonal depression and the sun setting at 3 p.m. for the first time is a huge change. Students' problem with the cold often has to do with A, getting to class in the freezing temperatures, and B, changing their lifestyle to adapt to being indoors all the time.
Awesome. And so you sort of mentioned this, but I'd love to know more. How have some students' behaviors and routines changed and adapted because of the negative temperatures and all the snow?
I think a lot of students have had to move all of their activities and extracurriculars to being indoors. Sports, runs, everything like that. It's hard for that to be outside when it's freezing and when you could risk slipping on ice. So students have adapted to hanging out with friends inside their dorms, cooking,
reading books, cozy winter activities like that. In some ways, this can be fun because it offers an opportunity to do activities that you can't do during other times of year, like ice skating, drinking hot chocolate in the cold, things like that that are especially fun when there's a chill in the air. But for a lot of students, moving their life indoors and having to purchase a new wardrobe, getting new coats, learning how to use scarves and learning to bundle up and that it's really all about the gear is definitely a huge adjustment.
Lovely. Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit more about this change in gear and this change in wardrobe that students have to undergo?
Absolutely. I talked to one student from Nashville who said that he purchased two coats before moving to Chicago because he wasn't used to this kind of weather and wanted to make sure that he was well prepared. Other students had to purchase long sleeve shirts for the first time, snow boots, things like that. Getting a new wardrobe to make sure that you won't freeze and that you'll be safe is important, especially when people say that it's all about the gear.
Great. So going back to the campus that we're all on, Northwestern, what does Northwestern do versus the other school districts in the area in terms of handling this cold?
Northwestern offers frostbite shuttles for students to get to class when it's especially cold outside, but a lot of students report that they have problems finding the frostbite shuttles and can't board them. Last year, there were days when it was very cold outside and District 65, which includes Evanston schools, canceled school, but Northwestern still had students come to class. Lots of students took issue with this because they were putting themselves in danger by going outside in extremely cold temperatures and walking at sometimes 20 minutes to class. So while Northwestern provides some resources like frostbite shuttles, students say that they probably could be better.
Now, besides frostbite shuttles and moving classes to Zoom, are there any other ways Northwestern's can protect its campus community this time of year?
Absolutely. I think Northwestern can offer more activities that students can participate in that happen indoors. For example, last week, Student Orgs and Activities hosted Winterfest, which offered a variety of activities for students to do inside the Norris Student Center. For example, trivia and axe throwing were popular events. Lots of students have to shift to doing indoor activities, but often end up planning these and executing them by themselves. Northwestern can make this easier for students and provide a place of gathering so students don't find themselves cooped up in their dorms and not socializing due to the cold weather.
Now, it's not all negativity this time of year. Some students like the winter weather. Can you tell me a little bit about why and how others can join in on the winter fun this time of year?
I think for a lot of students who have never experienced the cold before, yes, it can be scary, but it can also be super fun. Waking up with the ground being coated with snow can feel like a winter wonderland. Stepping outside, sticking your tongue out and catching snowflakes on your tongue. In fact, you can get fun gear, things that make you feel cute. Bundling up like a marshmallow, but in a fun way, can make this time of year especially lovely.
Alrighty, thank you so much for speaking with me today, Ingrid.
Thank you, Sophia.
Now for a brief look at the forecast. Tomorrow will be warmer than today, with a high temperature of 37 and a low of 21. The feels like will be solidly below freezing, though, and at 9 a.m. it is expected to feel like 6 degrees Fahrenheit. There will be wind gusts of up to 33 miles per hour. On Wednesday, it will be partly cloudy with a high of 33 and low of 25, and Thursday will be similar in terms of both temperature and precipitation, before it is forecasted to warm up to 51 degrees on Friday. Now taking a look at the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, across the nation and the globe. In Evanston, a new pizza place called Pizzeria DeVille is coming to 1527 Chicago Avenue. Set to open next month, the restaurant is filling the space left by Giordano's, which closed in January. Tonight, the District 65 School Board will vote on transportation policy changes for magnet school students. It is also expected that a lot of the meeting's attention will be focused on the ongoing criminal case against two district employees who are charged with abuse of a child relative. Tomorrow, President Trump will deliver his first State of the Union address of his second term, while Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth and Representative Jan Schakowsky, who represents the district Evanston is in, are both boycotting the speech. Senator Dick Durbin is expected to be there and is bringing a Chicago woman who inspired him to introduce the DREAM Act nearly 25 years ago. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 893. You can listen to these stories and others on our website, wnurnews.org. That's wnurnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Right now is our annual fundraiser phone-a-thon. This is the only time of year that we ask our listeners for support to keep our station on air and commercial-free. Please make a contribution now by going to wnur.org and clicking donate. All contributions make a difference. Thank you so much. Stay tuned and head to WNUR.org to find TKBiz on the air. Our producer today is Ethan Pan, and our reporters are McCall Vickers, Brendan Preisman, and Sophia Kesa. I'm Rachel Spears. Catch our next newscast, our special broadcast, on Friday, February 27th. Now back to scheduled programming.